Last time we looked at the topic of pleasing. Who are you pleasing? We're going to continue that tonight, kind of re-emphasize some of the points that were made last time at the end. We kind of rushed through some things. And one thing I want to review before we get going tonight is that who you are pleasing is who you are serving. If you're pleasing men, then you're serving men. You're not serving Christ. And here in Isaiah 1, I'm just going to read a verse here in Galatians before we get to Isaiah. But Galatians 1:10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Who you please is who you are serving. If you're going to please Christ with your life, you can't be a person that's trying to please men. But if you're seeking to please Christ, then you are one who is serving Christ. You know, one thing we don't have to worry about or be frustrated at is whether or not what we are about to do is going to please God. You know, God has outlined, has given us in His Word what is pleasing to Him. You know, sometimes maybe you're about ready to do something and you're wondering, oh boy, how is this person going to respond, you know, to what I'm going to say? Maybe it's a birthday party you're going to and you got a gift for somebody and you're like, boy, I hope they like the present. Or maybe it's Christmas. Have you ever gone through something like that wondering, I don't know if this person's going to like this or not? And maybe you went through the disappointment of spending a lot of time on something. Maybe you like to sew and you spent a lot of time sewing something for somebody and they got it and, you know, they put on maybe a cheesy smile like, thank you, but you could tell they didn't really enjoy what you made for them and you spent all this time on them. But, you know, when you do something and somebody is genuinely pleased with what you did, all right, it brings satisfaction. There's something satisfying about doing something for somebody and they're genuinely pleased with what you did. And the joy about serving the Lord is God has given to us what is pleasing in His sight. And if we do things that aren't pleasing to God, it's not God's fault. It's ours for not finding out. It could be because we have wrong motivation in our life. But it's a blessing that we can know what pleases God. And we can live a life by His power that is pleasing to Him. One thing that God is seeking for in a Christian is a Christian that is genuine. One thing that God sees through very easily is Christians that are not genuine. You know, God is not looking for Christians that are going to come and just simply put a big offering in the offering plate. Or come on Sunday and do just outward service to the Lord, but not come from a life that is seeking to genuinely please Him. You know, much of the false religions out there, you know, people are trying to do something. Or some of them, you'll meet people, certain people, they're trying to do something so they can be okay living the life that they want to live. You know, they're going to come to church once a week and do certain things so then the rest of the week they can live their own life. Well, they're not pleasing God at all by coming to church, trying to do something so that their conscience is appeased enough so they can live their life the rest of the week. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth, Sounds like God is not pleased. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. If you think of Proverbs, the Proverbs says the prayer of the what? The upright is his delight. Here it says, yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. You know, God is not just interested in us conforming to some outward standard for a short period of time so we can go home and live our own lives the way we want. Outward conformity with inward rebelling, brings no satisfaction to God. That's not something God's pleased with. You know, God is not pleased just because people show up to church on Sundays. Now, yes, people should be showing up to church on Sundays in the right kind of Bible-preaching church. But God is pleased with a genuine Christian who is living out that word throughout the week. He says in verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. You know, God is not deceived by somebody who comes to church and puts on an outward show, but the rest of the week is doing something different. God sees through that. And God is looking, he is pleased with people that are genuine, who are genuinely seeking to please him, not just once a week or twice a week, but throughout the week, are living an upright life before him. Verse 17 says, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. So we see that God is pleased with uprightness. He's pleased with a genuine Christian who is seeking to constantly do his will. Not just outward conformity for a short period of time in front of others, but one who is living a life that understands God's omniscience, that understands that God sees everything, that God knows the thoughts of our hearts, that God understands the motives behind what we are doing. Are we that genuine Christian that is truly pleasing to God? Let's go to Psalm number 51. You know, sometimes we'd like to just, oh, let's just do something quick and it's all taken care of. You know, we do something wrong and, you know, it'd be easy sometimes if we could just pay $10 and the sin's gone. But Psalm 51, it says in verse number 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, David, if all he needed to do was just bring an offering, do this outward act, and everything was okay, you know, that would have been no problem for him. David probably had plenty of sheep in his flock. He probably had all sorts of animals he could offer before God. But God was looking for something deeper than that. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. God was looking for genuine repentance in the heart of David. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, when there's sin in our life, God is looking for genuine repentance. He says he does not despise it when there's that broken and contrite heart. You know, when's the last time there was brokenness in your life over something you did? Or was it just simply, well, just say a quick prayer confession, but there was no genuine repentance? You know, when's the last time you heard a message and you were broken over the condition of your heart? You know, God is pleased with genuine repentance over our sin. God is looking for repentant hearts that are tired of their sin and want deliverance in Jesus Christ. He says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Let's go over to Psalm number 69. Notice again the genuineness of the heart that God is seeking after. Psalm number 69, verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. Notice that this also shall please the Lord better. Not just bringing something, but praise that flows out of a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness for what God has done. Does that take place in your worship of God? Is there that heart of thankfulness? You know, you're praising the name of God with a song. Not just words, but there's genuine thanksgiving, there's genuine praise in your heart. That's something that God's pleased with. You know, you can put a big check in the offering. You know, you may not bring an ox or a bullock. That's obvious. That's a more expensive animal than a sheep or a turtle dove that maybe a poor person would bring. You know, so you may not do that, but in our terms, you know, you may put a big bill in the offering. But if you sit there and your heart is not praising God, if you sit there and there's not a thankfulness in your heart, guess what? God would be much more pleased with a heart that's full of thankfulness. And obviously, if we have a thankful heart, what are we going to want to do? We're going to want to give to Him. But we have to understand the condition of our heart is what God is looking for. Do we have that genuine praise and thanksgiving? Let's go to Psalm number 147. And this I'm not going to spend much time on, but Psalm 147, we mentioned it the last time, but I'd like to just pull another thought from it. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Now, do you enjoy being with people that enjoy things that you enjoy? Well, I think many times we enjoy people that enjoy what we enjoy. You enjoy it when your children maybe pick up on things that you enjoy doing. Well, here it says, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Well, somebody that fears God, what do? Well, they love the things that God loves. They hate the things that God hates. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. You know, pride, arrogancy, the froward mouth, and the evil way. Maybe got them in the wrong order there. Do I hate? And so when we fear God, what are we doing? We're hating what He hates. The things that are abomination to Him are abomination to us. And the Bible says that the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. Just like we have pleasure in those that enjoy the things that we enjoy, God takes pleasure in those that fear Him. How much pleasure does God take in your life this evening as you take pleasure in the things that He takes pleasure in? Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And here we find again the theme of this, just doing these outward things, but there's not really a heart that's genuinely submitted to God. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. It says, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now Saul partially obeyed. He did a lot of what God told him to do. You know, a while back, Mr. Scott preached a message on this chapter and really brought that point out, that Saul did so much, but yet he did not do everything that God wanted him to do. You know, he made excuses. How prone are we to making excuses? We do part of what God wants us to do, but we don't do everything. And why is that? Well, what does God say here? For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, stubbornness. Saul had rebellion and Saul had stubbornness in his heart. And, you know, God isn't pleased with that. When we won't do things completely, children, when you won't follow your parents completely, you know, students at school, when you want to do things kind of your way, that's not pleasing to God. And here, Saul had great reasons. Well, we're going to, you know, save the best of the sheep. We're going to save these things so we can sacrifice to God. But what did God want? He wanted a heart of submission. He wanted a heart of obedience. That is what was pleasing to him. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And this concept, in maybe reiterated in a different way in the New Testament, Colossians, in a different context, Colossians 3, verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is what? This is well-pleasing unto the Lord. God wants that submissive heart. He is pleased with those that are willing to submit their will to His and to the authority that He has placed over them in their lives. So God takes pleasure in obedience. You know, there's the story of the prairie clock, and maybe many of you have heard the story, the children's story of the prairie clock, where, you know, the father had to leave his children, and there was a clock sitting there, and he said, you know, when the hands reach, you know, when they're all the way both up, you know, you can eat. And it would have been at noon. Well, he was going to be gone for a long time that day, and I don't know exactly what time he ended up getting home, you know, that night. But he got home, and he steps in the house, and he sees all the food on the table. You know, nothing had been eaten. It was all right just as he had left it. And he asked his children, why didn't you eat the food? And they, you know, either pointed to the clock or said, well, the hands of the clock never reached 12. Well, the clock had broken. You know, but the children what? They had a heart of obedience. You know, most people, we would make excuses. We would come up with something. But do we have that heart that genuinely seeks to obey? Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 verse 22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, what a promise of prayer. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, you may wonder, boy, why are my prayers not being answered? Well, look at your life. Is your life repulsive to God? Or is your life pleasing to God? You know, obviously the first step of pleasing God is accepting the sacrifice that he gave for our sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then after we've received that sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ is our perfect substitute. Are we living a life of obedience that is pleasing to him? Are we confessing that sin? Are we having that right relationship with him so that our prayers are not hindered? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Let's go over to 2 John chapter 2. And this isn't directly saying that God is pleased, but I think by implication here, if you know, the author, God, obviously the writer is speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse number 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. 3 John, verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Then let's go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Here in these contexts, it speaks of the great joy that individuals can bring to those, really, in a sense, that are spiritually have been over them, guiding them. And obviously, if it brings joy, why does it bring joy to them? Because they're doing what's right, because they're following the Lord. I think by extension, we can sing it brings joy to the Lord when we are doing what is right. It says in verse number 2, Philippians 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Do your actions please God? Do your actions please those that are seeking to point you in the right direction? You know, there's a lot of young people sometimes that go off in their own pathway in life, and they disregard the effect that it makes upon those that are seeking to point them in the right direction. They don't even care. They don't care if their parents are grieving. You know, maybe, I don't know what they're, that they just think, oh, we'll just get over it. Well, biblically speaking, their joy is brought when young people do what's right. To a pastor, joy is brought into his heart when what? When the congregation is doing what's right. And John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, if your life is bringing great displeasure to those that are seeking to point you in the right direction spiritually, then guess what? Your life is probably bringing displeasure to the God that they are serving. And it's something we need to think about. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Now, there are things that men are pleased with, things that we are pleased with, but there is someone far greater that we can please. It says in Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. You know, there's things in this world, boy, if I can just get a little bit more money, I'll be happy. You know, if I could just, maybe it's a scholar, if I could just have a little bit more wisdom. You know, they think of maybe one more book or something that they could write, or one more discovery that they could make. that would just bring pleasure to their souls as they think of maybe the pleasure it would bring to others and the accolades that they would bring upon themselves. Or neither let the mighty man glory in his might. You know, to God, there's something different that he's concerned with. It says in verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know, what pleases your heart tonight? When we know God, when we begin to walk with Him, it's the things that He delights in that will delight us. And when those things are delighting to us, guess what? Our lives are going to please Him. It's so easy to get distracted in the world in which we live. You know, there are so many things out there that the world is throwing at us, that we can get ourselves all wrapped up in. And yet, most of those things don't even count for anything. But yet, if we will seek to please God, instead of serving those things that don't count for anything, we'll begin to point our lives in a direction of something that is worthwhile. Because we are seeking to please the one who has created us. Who, when we follow the things that are pleasing to him, they will have an eternal impact for good. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would help us first of all, to be honest with ourselves, Lord, of who we're trying to please. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would give us a vision for pleasing you. Lord, may we see the joy, the satisfaction that it will bring when our lives are pleasing to the God of eternity. And Lord, even as the Apostle Paul prayed, Lord, that the people there would be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And Lord, when that took place, then they could live a life that was pleasing in your sight. Lord, I pray that tonight that there would be something, Lord, in this message that each one could take home. Lord, so that our lives would be pleasing in your sight. There's so much sin and wickedness and lies and filth in this world. And Lord, as the creator of this world, you deserve to have people that are seeking to please you. And Lord, may we be those ones that don't care about what men think, or that aren't living to simply please ourselves, but that we seek to bring honor and glory to your name. And Lord, if there's any tonight that do not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, may they understand that the first step in pleasing you is to accept the sacrifice for their sins that you've given in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.